Hey friends, before we jump into this episode of Film on the Rocks, we just want to let you guys know that our Patreon is now in full swing at patreon.com/filmontherocks. We have a $2 tier to become one of our drinking buddies, Water School 2. This includes early access to episodes, bonus episodes, polls for what we cover, and so much more. So come check it out. Once again, that is patreon.com/filmontherocks. Check the show notes for our links.
Welcome back to another installment of our bonus series, Talks on the Rocks. This is our second installment of Talks on the Rocks. I'm Brucker.
I'm Levi.
And I am really excited to do this again. This was a lot of fun the first time we did it, Levi, and we got a really positive response from our bonus episode.
Yeah, this is probably the most fun I've had. Like, okay, we've had a lot of really fun. I don't want to say that blanket statement. We've had a lot of really, really fun podcasts. I will say that. Thinking back to all the adventures we've had, but like this one is so much fun because it's raw and we don't like we prepare, but it's not as rigorous of a preparation.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, you know, how was this month? You know,
yeah, it's a pretty raw conversation.
In case you're new to us or to this bonus series we're doing, we are typically a movie podcast and we normally focus on one movie an episode and we break them down through various segments such as drinking rules, our favorite scenes, trivia, deeper meanings, and Levi and I always will debate potential sequels that you could do from these movies. But in these bonus episodes, this Talks on the Rocks, it's kind of a audio newsletter. It's kind of a wrap up from the month. We will be ranking the movies we talked about that previous month. A little bit behind the scenes on, you know, how did researching recordings go, which ones were our favorites to record. This is also a chance for us to answer any sort of listener questions and feedback. And if you have any stories or questions, just send them on into us. We got a handful of stories and questions to get through today. After that, we will kind of talk about what we've been watching outside of the podcast, what our recommendations, and then give you a glimpse of what are our upcoming episodes. So be sure to follow us on Twitter at Film on the Rocks and on Instagram at Film on the Rocks Podcast so you stay up to date on our scheduling updates and questions and polls and whatnot. But yeah, this is also an opportunity so that way you see what movies that we got coming up for you. I'm really excited to talk about this. This month of June was quite the smorgasbord of movies. Scott Pilgrim.
Honestly.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Disturbia, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and The Patriot. So we got to rank these four movies. I want to ask you, Levi, how do you, because my idea of ranking and rating movies is very fluid and ever changing. How do you want to go about like actually ranking these?
See, that's the thing. So the full disclosure, like The Patriot is one of my favorite movies like ever, but I did not rank it number one on this list.
Ooh.
Like, so, and I kind of, I tried to sit with this list and say, how am I going to rank this? Because obviously we had this mix of like, what's our favorite to research? What's our favorite to record? How do we enjoy it? And so I kind of tried to look at it as, what were my thoughts on it going in? What were my thoughts on it coming out? Did it go from, I don't know anything about it to, oh my gosh, I have so much respect for it? So I really don't know if I could give you an exact formula for like how I rank them, but I'm looking at my ranking and I feel pretty comfortable about it.
Okay, so do you think we should do it like our, what we think, there's an overall grade, which movie is just the best, or is it kind of like which one speaks to Levi the most, or which one speaks to Brucker the most? Like, this is like this is very much a Brucker movie, so I'm making it number one, or do we need to rank it as like a, this is just, in general, this is just overall a better movie, like regardless of my own personal preference or bias, you just know that this is. So like how do you want to go about that for this?
That's an interesting thought. So if it's going by, I mean, I could give you both. I could give you, like, if you're talking about what is purely just like as far as a good movie, I would only have to rearrange really a couple things in the ranking that I have, Like, I can look at here and I can tell you which one I think is the number one quintessential Brucker movie and which one is the quintessential Levi movie. I can tell you right now what that is. But, yeah, I don't know. I say we just start on the ranking and then we just see what happens.
All right. Oh, how about you lead us off? Okay, so out of these four, which one's your number one?
My number one is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I'm kind of surprised, actually.
Yeah, so this movie is obviously the most underrated. I say obviously to me, the most underrated out of the four, because you have Disturbia, which is a fan favorite in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have The Patriot, which is like this kind of quintessential like 90s, like, or what was it? 2000 and
it was 2000.
2000, like late 90s, early 2000s, kind of in the heyday or near the end of the heyday of Mel Gibson, and then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is Quentin Tarantino. And then you kind of have this random like movie that has beautiful effects, is really well written, a very unique story. It's just this movie that is not built like a movie is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But it is built, it's clear, it's a comic book that they turn into a movie, and that is so unique and so beautiful, and it just is so enjoyable. I think it is, out of all of them, the most rewatchable out of the four, and it's punchy, it's fun, it's silly, there's a lot of one-liners, the writing is great, I mean, I can go on, and the special effects are super-duper-duper slept on in the course of just film in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Scott Pilgrim as my number one. It was also my favorite to research, I should add.
Oh, interesting.
All the little comic book references, the video game references. Like, if you're a nerd, I'll say that. If you're, like, a nerd like I am, this just feels like a movie that dumped a ton of Easter eggs into a film and we're like, okay, see what you can find. Like, oh, I heard that one. You know, it's just a blast to experience.
Man, this is happening again. Last time when we did our rankings, I think you had the movie you had at number one, I had at the bottom of the list. And same thing here, Scott Pilgrim is at the bottom of my list.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of said my piece about it in that episode. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to it. Levi provided a lot of those Easter egg things that he found throughout the movie.
Not even all of them. It was just like just the select few that I thought were most important. There's so many.
And I said my piece about it. It's a very fun movie, but the other three just really kind of speak to me more, I guess.
Yeah.
Man, number one, I'm going to have to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, number one. I mean, that movie is great. I almost put Disturbia number one, but just because of how much nostalgia that movie has and everything. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think it's a new classic. I think that movie... is going to age incredibly well. I think, you know, like six plus years from now, people are going to be looking back at that movie as one of Tarantino's classics. I mean, I think that movie is just going to age really well. It's so much fun. And it's just, it's also really nice because it's so nostalgic for the 60s and 70s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to be, nobody's going to be nostalgic for like 2019, really. So
I mean, you never know.
So like, you know, if he like made a movie set in like present day like that or whatever, I don't think it would have aged as well. But everybody is going to be nostalgic for that time period. So because of that, I think, and just how much fun it is, I think it's just going to age super well. So, and I also just had so much fun rewatching it for the podcast. Like I said, it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's number one on my rankings, and I think it's just a really good movie too.
I wish I had said what my quintessential Brucker movie was before you said that, because I was going to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I was going to guess is your number one. And weirdly enough, I don't know what it is, man, about these episodes. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was my number four.
It's cool that you and I kind of flip like that, though.
Yeah, it's fun. Which, for the record, again, if you haven't seen that episode of ours, go back and watch it. Brucker did a really, really good job of... What'd I say?
I said, or listen to it. You said, watch it.
Oh, listen. You know what I mean. Yeah. Go watch with your ears. oh my gosh. Please. But Brooker did such a good job because I kind of came on the other side of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and was like, I don't get it. And Brooker did a really good job at explaining and kind of enlightening me to why this movie was so good. So it is not a number four that is like far, far, far below number three. It's gotcha. It's all really, really close.
I love how you said it's really close.
It could have been a number two, honestly.
Okay, okay.
That's how close it was.
You're like, it was almost second to last. That's kind of like what you just said almost.
Yeah. But second to last out of... it still makes the podium out of four. You're still a bronze medal if you make second to last.
Gotcha.
My second favorite... or I shouldn't say second favorite. My number two on the ranking was Disturbia.
Mm.
I thought Disturbia was... Which, that was a movie I hadn't seen until we recorded. And Brooker also did a great job at kind of showing me the light to this movie. And Disturbia was actually my favorite one to record because of that. I really, really enjoyed hearing Brooker's perspective. He's kind of our residential. Alongside my wife, they are kind of the co-Spookmaster generals side by side. He's got the thriller gene inside of him. So getting to, but yeah, Shia LaBeouf. One of his, if not his best role. He's so good at what he does. There's some cheesy lines here and there that kind of I give a pass to. He kind of gives off some creeper vibes, and they're like, oh my gosh, so romantic. And I'm like, I don't know about that. but it was so much fun to record. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm actually really surprised by that because I'm just surprised by that. I thought you would have had Patriot like way higher, but I actually have Disturbia number two as well.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a really fun movie. It's rewatchable, and it's also very nostalgic for me, like I mentioned. I mean, recording it was really fun. I guess I'll say which one was my favorite to record at the end. But it was for pretty much like the same reasons as you. It's just like really fun. It's nostalgic for me. It's fun to see Shia LaBeouf. That one was also really odd to research. I'll explain why when we get done with our rankings. But yeah, I had Disturbia at number two.
Yeah, and then number three, I guess we both had The Patriot at number three.
Yeah.
Which, again, I said beforehand, The Patriot is one of my favorites. I think if I made a... I'm sure if I made, like, a top 25, top 30 list of, like, my favorite films of all time, I'm sure it would make that list. But it's so... It's such a wonderful movie, but in regards to the ranking and how much I enjoyed recording it, how much I enjoyed researching it, how much I enjoyed discovering new things, how much I enjoyed hearing my co-host talk about it, like taking everything into account in the kind of the context of experiencing it for the podcast, it hit number three for me. But it's still, again, such an amazing movie, which, by the way, I'll add this because I was beating myself up for the over this that I didn't say this in the Patriot podcast. So go see... Go listen to the Patriot podcast. There's a scene wherever Benjamin and his son Gabriel are sitting on the side of like this creek or whatever, and they're talking about marriage and getting married, and then they kind of look out in the distance and they see Gabriel's bride to be coming in on like a carriage or whatever. And Mel Gibson offers, or I should say Benjamin offers Gabriel an apple. He says, apple? And then they both are eating an apple together as father and son. That scene is so good. And it was improvised.
Yeah.
So I love, love, love that scene. And I never said it in the pod. And I remember I was walking around the house afterwards and I went, oh! And Rachel was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I forgot to talk about the apple scene. And she was like, oh, it's okay. So I had to say that the apple scene was one of my favorites. So there's a little
tidbit.
What do you call it? Yeah, a little tidbit to get y'all to go back and listen to The Patriot.
That's really funny you said that because it's like almost guaranteed. I don't know if this happens to you very often, but that happens to me almost every time we get done recording. I always go, oh, I left something on the table. I meant to bring up this piece of trivia or whatever. But yeah. I try really hard not to shoehorn stuff. I mean, we kind of do sometimes, but I try to make it as organic as possible.
Totally.
But yeah, so that happens to me all the time, and it's always so frustrating. But yeah, like you, I had Patriot at number three. I came really close to putting it at number two. We're probably going... get some flack for having Disturbia higher than the Patriot, but
I think we'd get more celebration for that than you think.
We'll see. But I mean, again, this is like personal. It's how like you and me are. I mean, just Disturbia is just a more fun movie. And the Patriot is still great. I didn't realize how much of that movie was ingrained into my brain because I watched it way too much when I was a kid, and I was quoting that movie like line for line as Kat and I were rewatching it. I still love that movie. Disturbia is just a little bit easier rewatch because it's shorter and it's just a little bit, I mean, yeah, it's a thriller murder movie, but there aren't that many kills, and it's a little bit, I mean, it's hard, it's odd to say it, but you know, the heaviness of Disturbia versus the heaviness of the Patriot, Disturbia is a little bit more lighthearted compared to the Patriot. So
yeah, really.
So just because that, it just makes it a more fun movie. So that's pretty much the only reason why the Patriot's at number three. If Disturbia wasn't in this, or like a lesser movie, it definitely would have been higher in the list.
Yeah, I almost put the Patriot number two as well, but the reason I didn't is just because of I sat there with the two of them because I knew what my number one and number four were, but I kind of was like just like thinking it over.
Isn't that how that goes? You know what you love, you know what you hate. I mean,
well, I didn't hate Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I did know what my top and my bottom were. But I was like, Patriot could be number two. I don't know, but it kind of boiled down to how much of a surprise Disturbia was for me. Like, man, I really liked that movie, and I knew what I was getting with the Patriot. It's a classic. So yeah, I ended up just being like, you know what, Patriot can sit at number three for a little bit. It's time for Disturbia to get a little spotlight. What was your favorite to research and your favorite to record?
Did we do our number four? Or I guess, oh yeah, you said Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, yeah,
was
yeah,
number
yeah.
four. And I guess my number four was Scott Pilgrim. I guess I said that.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite to record was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was between this and, I mean, all of them were fun to do. I mean, I like all of them. Just Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was, I just love talking about that movie. And just because that was one of the deeper, that was the deepest movie we did this month, I think. And there's just so much to unpack in it, and for some people it's not obvious, but I mean it took, like I said, like I didn't get it the first time I watched it. Like I had to have conversations with people, I listened to lots of people about it, and the whole aging idea, I probably should have said this, the whole thought of how this movie could be about aging, comparing Sharon Tate's position in her career versus Cliff and Rick's at, you know, when they're towards the end. That was kind of brought to my attention by a kind of like a movie reviewer that I listened to, Eric Siska. People that listen to We Hate Movies know who that is. He's a very funny podcaster, but I listened to him talk about that movie, and that's kind of like what opened my eyes to like, oh, aging is a way to look at this movie. And then from there, I kind of like was able to unpack more, but I feel like I should give credit to that idea. It was from Eric Siska, but so yeah, that was just so much fun. And also I was doing the Rick Dalton special. I was drinking a whiskey sour while doing it, talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with one of my good buddies. And yeah, so it was just a lot of fun. What about you? Which one was your favorite to record?
I said that it was Disturbia.
Disturbia.
Just to see you get excited about it. And I mean, anytime that I'm in a recording and my a view is spiked one way or another, it's always a blast.
So for researching, I kind of have, so most of these movies were pretty easy to research. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I was actually surprised of how much stuff there is online of, I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised because it's a popular movie, but like there's so many videos of Quentin Tarantino, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie just talking about this movie and so much behind the scenes stuff. It's overwhelming how much information there is about the production of this movie. That being said, I had a lot of fun researching Disturbia because, like I said, that movie's very nostalgic, so it was kind of fun to go back in time a little bit and watch younger Shia LaBeouf, like 19-year-old Shia LaBeouf, just talk about doing this movie and how he, you know, had talks with Steven Spielberg and everything. Just him going through some process, it was really fun. I would say something, a dark note about this was I found online, and it's on YouTube if people want to listen to it. It's only like a 10-minute cut of the DVD movie commentary of Disturbia with DJ Caruso, Sarah Romer, and Shia LaBeouf. They're all, you know, watching the movie, just commentating over the movie as it's going. Huh. And I don't know if you ever do that, but those are really fun to do. Levi, I'm assuming you own all the Star Wars movies. Go back and watch, because you've seen them a million times. Go back and watch them with the commentary. It's so much fun. But
it's fascinating.
But so I did that for Disturbia, and DJ Caruso was kind of a creep during this.
Really?
Yes, he was like hitting on Sarah Romer the whole time during this, and it was kind of just like yeesh, yeesh. Like I'm not trying. I don't know. This was one incidence of DJ Caruso. That kind of. So I don't know how like what kind of a person he is or whatnot. But like the commentary started with them introducing themselves. She's like, "I'm Sarah Romer," and he just goes, "Oh, you said that all sexy like," and I was like, "What the fuck is going on?" I was like, "This is awkward," but. That commentary is where I got most of my trivia, so I'm glad I watched it.
Cool. I mean, yeah, creepy, cool, yeah. Very creepy.
Yeah, but, so Disturbia was a lot of fun and kind of creepy to research. So to just summarize, my list was, number one, my list was at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, number two, Disturbia, The Patriot, and Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
And my list was at number one, Scott Pilgrim, number two, Disturbia, three, The Patriot, and four, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Alrighty. Now, so we're going to kind of get into our listener questions and feedback segment.
I love this part.
Yes, this is awesome. We love listener interaction. I think last time I was kind of harping, you know, send stuff to the email, FOTRpodcast@gmail.com. But, and I'm not upset. People just, you know, tweeted at us, sent us things on Instagram, which is totally fine. It was actually a lot easier to keep up with than I thought. So feel free to still, you know, send us DMs on Twitter or Instagram. It's totally fine. So we got a handful of questions here. Thank you from John from Twitter. He asked us a couple questions that I want to kind of hit you with, Levi. So the first one was, what movies inspired us to do a movie podcast?
Oh, my goodness. That's a big question.
That is a big question. The origins of this podcast is kind of muddled, but I will say the movies that really inspired me to want to do a podcast, there was three or four. There was four. We've already covered two of them. Scream was definitely one, and Shutter Island was another one. Two other ones that I kind of like, man, I love these movies. I just gotta like, I just want to like break them down and sit down with a buddy and talk about them. And were Jaws and Ocean's 11. So those were the main movies. This is a really fun outlet to have to, you know, break out the monotony of, like, you know, everyday life. And, you know, it's really fun just to break down these movies and get different perspectives, too, because, you know, having a host on this, Levi brings a different perspective as well and points out stuff. So it's Scream, Jaws, Ocean's 11, Shutter Island were the movies that really kind of inspired me to want to start a podcast.
That's a hard question, because movies, you know, they are so unique and they bring different things. My first thought was automatically Star Wars. Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, honestly. Just these movies that have such deep lore and are so widely adored by such a large audience. And to the idea of sitting down, which I'm very excited and thankful that we got to do with the recent Rise of Skywalker and with the Mandalorian television show, the Disney Plus series, which season 2 is coming out soon. Fingers crossed. So excited. We got to do that with some Star Wars stuff, which was super fun. But just like getting to talk about things that I loved and kind of molded my, or still love, but molded my childhood and are a big part of who I am, and Lord of the Rings and the books that are, you know, and J.R.R. Tolkien and his influence on me, not only on a literary level, but also kind of on a philosophical level, is just a brilliant, brilliant human being. I don't know. Yeah, those were the first ones that kind of came to mind. I've got a plethora of movies that I enjoy that we will probably do eventually. But yeah, those were the ones that kind of came to mind. Just these fun movies that are so emotional for me and so sentimental to me. The idea of kind of being like, yeah, so, you know, what do you think? Is Jar Jar Binks a Sith Lord? I don't know. You know, just like, what the I literally, total tangent, but still fun. I actually, I had a conversation with Rachel while we were dating, and she had a class in college where she was writing a paper. She got to pick her topic, any topic. Mm-hmm. She came to me and she said, "Hey Levi, I was thinking about writing a paper on whether or not Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord." And I pulled the whiteboard out and I was like, "Okay, here we go." And just went, you know, you don't realize how obsessed you are with something. And I just went off and talking about every eye blink, every mouth movement, every shot, every scene, every, like, well, he did this with his hands this one time, and he did this with Qui-Gon Jinn, he did this in the Senate, he did this with Queen Amidala, and blah, 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 blah. And realizing how, like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, and I talk to Rachel all the time, be like, I should do a podcast. I don't have enough time. Maybe I should do a podcast. And then Brooker called me up one day and said, "Hey, dog, I'm doing a podcast. You want in?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." And so, you know,
I was actually surprised how easy it was to get you to do it. I thought I was going to have to like really like twist your arm and ask, like, be like, do a lot of convincing. You were like, "Yeah, no, I'm ordering a mic right now." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool."
So yeah, I guess Star Wars and Lord of the Rings for sure, but there's a ton out there that are just so important.
Oh, that's all. You're kind of like when Rachel asked you that, like, "All right, let me take you to the shed. What, we have a shed?" And you're like, you're like Russell Crowe from A Beautiful Mind. You have like the red string everywhere,
the yarn everywhere. Yeah. It's like, oh, that. Oh, and rubbing my temple all the time. Oh my gosh. Writing on my window with like a white marker. Yeah.
Oh man, that's hilarious. So thank you, John. And John also included another question, kind of. And I kind of have a question for Levi to piggyback off of this. But
yeah.
So there's been all this news about Scream 5 coming out. And John knows I'm a big Scream head because he's listened to the podcast. So he's kind of just like wanting to know what our thoughts are on them doing another Scream, whatever. Are you a big fan of the Scream franchise? Have you seen all the movies?
So the only movie that I've seen in the Scream franchise is Scream.
I mean, that's the only one I've seen.
Yes. And when I saw Scream, and you know, to this day, horror movies, scary movies, like, I can appreciate a psychological thriller. This is a tangent I've been on multiple times in my time with Film on the Rocks, but if you can make a well done psychological thriller, I will be terrified, but I will enjoy it. I get nightmares all the time when I'm watching all these scary movies and stuff like that. But I watched Scream, and I was just over the moon impressed by it. Just thought it was so good. And I was like, is this what a scary movie can be? Is this what it is? And that was honestly the first time I'd really watch a scary movie and be like, this is so good. This is what it should be. This is perfectly made. Yeah. And so I you know, Scream was something like that for me, where I was just like, this is so amazing. I haven't seen anything past that point. I think that it would be irresponsible of me to, or I should say irresponsible of any listener to hear my opinion on whether Scream 5 should exist and be like, I'm going to take his advice, when we literally have the Scream head of all Scream heads also on this podcast. So I haven't seen the other ones. I know the more sequels you do, kind of, I'm sure there's some equation of, like, statistically speaking, the odds of it being a flop based on what number of a sequel it is. And I'm sure the farther out you get from the original, the more and more statistical odds that it, you ha- like, the odds are in your favor to just have a flop. Yeah. But I don't know. So my gut would be like, don't do it. But that's just because of how I know, you know, Shrek 1, Shrek 2, Shrek 3, Shrek 4, Shrek 18, Shrek 19, yeah. Shrek 20, you know. Like, what do you think? Because you've seen all of them, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen all of them, and I've even watched all the seasons of the MTV TV show. I'm a Scream head, but I'm kind of torn, because, you know, the fan in me is like, yes, more Scream content, please. But the realist in me is like, is it going to be good though? So, I mean, Scream 4, I actually really enjoy. It's my second favorite out of the franchise. Scream, I won't go through my whole ranking right now, but Scream 4 was really good, I think, and it was honestly I won't say it's as like as good as the first one, because the first one's a classic, but I mean like it's good enough to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch Scream 1, then I'm gonna watch Scream 4 tonight, like have it like a double feature, and it's easily done. Yeah. And so Scream 5, I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna be really excited about it, especially since there's so much talks about David Arquette's already confirmed to come back to be Dewey, and I've seen that Neve Campbell, I've watched interviews with her, and she said that she's in talks. She's just like, how good is this script really before she commits to it? And there's also this whole thing that Neve Campbell also got into about she's worried that it might be disrespectful to Wes Craven if she does another Scream property, since he is now deceased, and that was like his one of his great accomplishments was the first Scream movie. I mean, he has several, but I mean, that was one of them. So, I mean, I guess it kind of just depends on concept, and I'm very hesitant, basically, are my thoughts about it. I'm excited, but very hesitant about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Excited, but hesitant. I think that if you're a huge fan, I think that's, I mean, that's what I went into whenever the new Star Wars trilogy came out. I was excited, but hesitant.
Yeah.
And I was, I was just joyous over The Force Awakens. That movie is stellar.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think it'll be good. They talk about reboots, or should they continue? I don't know. It'll be hard to reboot this franchise, and I think it's easier to continue, honestly. I say go for shock and awe and kill off Gale. Make her the cold open. I say make her the cold open and then have Dewey on the case the whole time. Just to really pull it in. And then, we have new characters and whatnot, but and then, because then her funeral will be a reason for the original cast to get together. It's cliche, but I also think it'll be a nod to Randy, because in Scream 2, he says, he has like a line about, he quotes The Godfather or something like, nothing like a funeral bring the family back together. It would be like a meta nod to Randy, which I think like which would fit perfect, but whatever. So those are my thoughts. Now, I have a question to piggyback off this, and
please
kind of, so this is what I was teasing last talks on the Rock, this kind of like hypothetical question or whatever, what Levi thinks. So you weren't around for the first four episodes. We did The Sandlot, Spider-Man 2002, Mean Girls, and Scream. What do you think, we should revisit those movies, like do those, like kind of like do like a Film on the Rocks remake and do those movies again with you? Or do you think we should just like have like a big episode where like you just kind of like break down those movies?
I thought about this. I think one episode for all of them is probably a way I'd want to go, because again, for all of our listeners, you guys are very aware of our dear friend Nate the Force Ghost. And all he did for those, his time on Film on the Rocks. I would hate to just kind of pave over his episodes, because he did such a great job. I would love, Sandlot is one of the best. Sandlot, I believe, is a perfect movie. I think Sandlot's one of the best movies ever made. Mean Girls is wonderful. Scream is incredible. And Spider-Man, because y'all did, which Spider-Man did y'all do? Spider-Man 2?
No, the Spider-Man very first one with Tobey Maguire. Okay,
Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire is, I believe, the most slept-on Spider-Man movie ever made. That movie is so good. Spider-Man 2, I know, is a lot of people's favorite in that trilogy, but Spider-Man 1, honestly, until Tom Holland became Spider-Man, I didn't think it was any question. Even with Andrew Garfield, I thought that the Spider-Man 1 with the original Spider-Man 1 was the best Spider-Man that they'd ever made.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, you and I share similar opinions on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Green Goblin. Willem Dafoe is the Green Goblin.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And okay, that's something I've kind of always wondered if like we should kind of revisit those to get your opinion. But yeah, maybe we'll just do like a big bonus episode where like we kind of just go through those four movies with you to get your drinking rules and favorite scenes and whatnot. But okay, cool. That's something I've always kind of wondered. But thanks, John from Twitter, for those two questions. And He also has a podcast, a movie listener. Oh my goodness, I almost did it again. Movie Lovers Unite. Be sure to check them out. And we got another question here before we get into some stories. We got a question from Megan from the Retrostatic Radio podcast. Be sure to check them out. Megan asks, what are our favorite classic movies? Are we like Turner classic movie fans, favorite old movie stars? And she also asked, if we could pick any Squishmallow or Squishmallow animal, what would we choose? So thank you, Megan. Thank you, Megan, yeah, from Retrostatic Radio.
I had to look up what a Squishmallow was. I had a feeling it was like a stuffed animal or something, but I was like, what is a Squishmallow? And I looked at, and I'm surprised that I don't have the Squishmallow. I'm going to start with the Squishmallow okay, question because I feel very strong about this. I'm a big Pokemon fan. I would have gotten a Snorlax Squishmallow, like a giant Snorlax Squishmallow. That would be the best. And I would for sure get that. But yeah, that one's awesome. Do you have a favorite Squishmallow, brother?
I can't give a serious answer, but I'm just looking at it right now, and Georgie the goat looks amazing, so I'm going to go with that.
Georgie the goat. Okay.
Yeah, so actually, no, he looks pretty freaking cute. So yeah, that's a good choice. Georgie the goat. I'm going with him. And he has the same color pattern as my dog, so that works.
There you go. What's your favorite, I don't know the proper, like TCM film, but that's movie film. TCM.
Yeah. So yeah. Favorite Turner classic movie. I'm not super familiar in, you know, I don't have like this super vast knowledge of them, but I do actually have one, 12 Angry Men. Love that movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's a great movie. I saw that when I was first in high school, I believe. And, I'm not, you know, we don't need to remake everything, but I would love to see, cause that's a movie where like you could just get a big, awesome all-star cast. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Like put Adam Driver in there with like Brad Pitt, George Clooney, maybe like just, I pretty much should just like recasting Ocean's 11 right now, but, but yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun, to see that done again. But that is 12 Angry Men is one of my favorite classic movies.
12 Angry Men was good. I actually had to look up what movies technically qualify in the TCM category, but mine, I don't know if you've seen this movie, Brooker. Have you seen Singing in the Rain?
I have not.
That movie is wonderful. 1952, Singing in the Rain, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, I might add.
Oh, wow.
Starring the legendary Gene Kelly. Who is just, I mean, if you know Gene Kelly, he's been around. Just like, I mean, again, it's a musical, a lot of tap dancing, a lot of great little numbers, but that it's just such a sweet, sweet film and so wonderful. Yeah. So I had Singing in the Rain. That was kind of a no brainer, I guess. Like technically movies like The Wizard of Oz and Ben Hur and stuff like that count as TCMs, but, I had Singing in the Rain.
Yes, 12 Angry Men also has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that movie came out in 1957.
What's the audience score for 12 Angry Men?
Good question. The audience score is 97%.
Oh, you got me. The Singing in the Rain was 95%.
Ha ha.
All right, 12 Angry Men wins.
So does that mean I have better taste? I'm just kidding.
I mean, no. There's an argument for that, yes.
But
hey, or nah.
Yeah, so thank you, Megan, from Retrostatic Radio podcast for those movies. And we have a couple stories here that we got from some people. So we'll go through. Okay, one of them is from Anonymous. We got to protect the innocent here.
Of course.
They wanted to, not that it was like super inappropriate or anything, but they just wanted to remain anonymous for this story. So
yeah.
Basically, this was just kind of like a bad date. This is from a mystery person. One of the horrible dates that I was on was when the girl that I was seeing at the time wanted to go see Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones. And he himself couldn't stand found footage movies. So he decided to take her during an hour and a half, and she was getting... So I decided to take her, and an hour and a half into it, she got too scared and was shaking and asked if they could leave early. And he was just a little frustrated because it was like a 45-minute drive back to whoever's house from there. So, have you ever had, which, you know, that stinks. I've only seen, I think, two horror movies actually in the theaters. And one of them was The Woman in Black with Daniel Radcliffe. And there was one poor girl in the audience that was just not having a good time during this movie. And she was just screaming and like crying and like wanting to go home the whole time. But have you ever had like a bad movie date like that where the person wanted to leave during the middle of it, or you're watching a scary movie with some people and somebody just got too scared and just needed to leave?
I was thinking about that. So the dates that I would go on prior to dating my now wife, I would never take anyone to a scary movie because I didn't want to go to a scary movie. Like, I didn't want any part of that. And I definitely married into, as you all know, a wonderful, wonderful woman who loves the scary movies, loves the Stephen King, the terrifying, the psychological thriller kind of genre. And so I've seen many a thriller in theaters, and it has terrified me. I went to go see It Chapter 1 and 2. And It Chapter 1, in my opinion, is way better, which is, you know, fair, because the story, if you've ever read the book It by Stephen King, the portion that with them as kids is a way better story. Is a much better story than the story with the adults. It's just it's more compelling and it's more tense and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you get all the best parts in the first, in chapter one, and then all of the other parts in chapter two. So the first one was just better and it was scarier.
Yeah.
And so the first time I went and saw it, I went in just normal, saw it. We went back to the car. I had nightmares for like 3 days.
Oh, man.
Because of it. I did. I just would like have nightmares of clowns and it's just scary. And so in the, I was sure to take the necessary precautions whenever I saw It Chapter 2. And I, Rachel was my designated driver, and I was sure to prepare my body for the experience I was about to have. And so not over the top, but just enough to, you know, feel a little bit more relaxed, got a little liquored up, and I enjoyed it. I can neither confirm nor deny, just in case AMC happens to be listening, but
okay, yeah.
AMC's that experience was way more enjoyable for me because nothing, I was just experiencing everything in slow motion. But I've seen quite a few movies where I'm the one gripping my wife's hand and I'm the scared one and she's being brave for me. So I'm sure I've been the person there that my wife's like, oh my gosh, I can't take him anywhere. He's getting scared of everything.
Can't take him anywhere.
Yeah. What about you?
oh my God. All right, I'm cool now. I haven't seen too many scary movies in theaters. There was like one occasion I thought of where me, my best friend, and his friend, so three of us and my best friend's parents, took us to go see Harry Potter and the Chambers of Secrets.
And oh yeah,
we were kids at the time, and so went to go see it. And his friend Amir got too freaked out during the movie because, you know, that one is one of the darker Harry Potter movies, especially for like its target audience. So Amir got too scared and asked my best friend's dad to leave. And so his dad leaves and was like, hey, he's getting kind of scared. I think we need to go. Do you want to leave too? And we like look at each other like, no, we're going to watch Chambers of Secrets. Y'all could just leave. And so his friend my friend's dad just had to take him, and they just walked around Kroger's for like an hour and a half while we watched Chambers of Secrets.
Oh, is it like, was it the snake or
yeah,
what was it?
I think it was just like the snake, and there's like, because that one is very much like a kid's like whodunit, and there's like a lot of like scary things in that. But yeah, so he was getting freaked out. And saw Chambers of Secrets, which that was just and it was our first time seeing it, so we're like, no, we're not leaving. But so he reminds me of that all the time. Like, yep, I remember when we did that. I have no regrets. I love that movie. So
I don't know if I've ever walked out of a movie before.
I don't think I have either.
Huh. I do. Oh my gosh, I just had a memory. Oh my gosh, I cannot remember what movie we went to. But it was essentially, I can't remember what it's called, but Rachel and I went to this movie that we thought was supposed to be like this thriller or whatever of a, like, I don't know, the Purge-esque movie or some sort of pandemic movie. I don't know. But we went into it and it turned out to be this like kind of political propaganda movie about how one side is trying to terrorize, you know. I can't even remember if it was like more conservative or more liberal. But it was just so shocking. And I was like, whoa, like this, what is going on right now? And I was just like, okay. And we ended up walking out. And I think we walked into like, I don't know, it might have been Star Trek or Transformers or something like that. Where just, we literally walked out of one theater and just went into another movie that we didn't buy a ticket for. Cause we're like, we can't take this. But I can't remember what the movie was.
That's hilarious though.
Yeah, it was not fun. Rachel was actually the one that leaned over and was like, this is a terrible movie. And we're like, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah. Are you enjoying this? Not even a little bit.
Not really.
See, I would maybe it'll turn
into some history lesson, and it wasn't.
If it was my girlfriend's idea to go see this movie, she did that. Like, oh yeah, totally. This is amazing. Like, even though I hate it, I'm like, good choice, babe. She goes, okay, but this is dog shit. Let's leave. Like, okay, thank God.
Oh man, so good.
Yes. Thank you, Anonymous, for that for that story.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
We got another story from Jessica from over at Fan Dummies. She sent in a little story for us. So thank you, Jessica. And she's been super awesome. She's been going through our back catalog and, you know, being like, oh my gosh, this was a lot of fun. And she finally got to watch Knives Out because Knives Out is now on Amazon Prime.
Excellent.
And so she did the 1-2 punch of watching that movie and listening to our episode. And so thanks, Jessica. And it was a lot of fun when y'all came on for Solo. So she sent over a really kind of like sweet, funny story. And she sent this over because if people don't know, there was Joel Schumacher unfortunately passed away this week. He was the director for Phantom of the Opera, some of the older Batman movies.
I don't know if I knew that. Oh my god.
Yeah, he was 80 years old. I don't know what he died of. I assume natural causes, but I don't know that for a fact. So she was kind of sharing this story related to Phantom of the Opera in light of Joel Schumacher passing. But so she says, okay, here's my Phantom of the Opera story. When I was very little, my parents would play the cassette tape of the soundtrack for me to fall asleep to. I loved it. Then when the show came to town, my parents took me to see it. It scared the bejesus out of me. I had trouble falling asleep for a while after that. I had to sleep with the light on, and I forbade my family to ever talk about the show. Then when the movie came out, my best friend wanted to go to see it, and I was like, ha 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 ha, no. I'm pretty sure I avoided going to see it in the theater, but I did watch it at her house later. It brought back the same trauma, but now I love the music again. Jessica. Thank you, Jessica, from Fan Dummies Podcast. Oh my
gosh. I love Phantom of the Opera. It is my favorite musical of all time. It is so good. I'm so broken. I did not know that Joel Schumacher had passed away. That breaks my heart. That movie is so good.
Man, maybe we need to do one of his Batman movies sometime to a nice, nice little tribute. When I was in the, I'm very familiar, I haven't actually seen Phantom of the Opera. I'm very familiar with the soundtrack because where I went to grade school, my English teacher, as we were just like working in class to ourselves, she would play the Phantom of the Opera soundtrack during class, like every day. Yeah. So I'm very familiar with the soundtrack. I'm way more familiar with the Disney Channel original movie that's a parody on this, Phantom of the Megaplex. Love that movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
I am way more familiar with that. It's on Disney Plus. That's a DCOM, people kind of sleep on, I think. I really like that movie. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a kid movie, but so. Have you ever been so traumatized by a movie, Levi, that you just, you couldn't have your family talk about it around you?
As terrified as I am of all scary movies, I don't know if I ever have. Like, I mean, I guess as a kid you have nightmares or whatever, but I've never been like, no, don't talk about it, la, 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 la. Like, la, 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 I don't think so.
Yeah. I think the closest I've been to was, okay, so Insidious. When that movie came out, my cousin, who's like my little brother, we all like lived, me and my cousins all lived and grew up together. I was like 16 or 17 when that movie came out, and he was like 13. And I remember seeing the trailers. I'm like, oh, that movie looks pretty good. I want to see that. And he told me, yeah, me and my friends went to go see that in the theaters. And it like made, it was so scary, man. We all like shat ourselves. And I was like, dude, you got scared of a PG-13 movie? What a wimp. And he's like, no, man, it's terrifying. I was like, yeah, whatever. And so I had the house to myself for a week because my family went on vacation. And I like to, like, being 17, I was like, I'm going to opt to have the house to myself for a week versus going on a family vacation. So
Right.
So I remember I was like, one night, while my family's gone, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to watch Insidious by myself. And holy crap, that movie scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I was like, I owe my little cousin the biggest apology. Oh, my God. And I was terrified. I did not go to sleep that night because I had the house to myself and everything, especially like the woman at the end. I was like, ugh. And so, it's not that I could talk about that movie. Like, I was fine people talking about that movie for me, but like, that's just hearing the soundtrack, like, did bring up like those creepy vibes from that movie. And so
I don't know the soundtrack of Insidious, but I do know that movie. I ended up saying that in, I ended up seeing that in college for the first time because, again, I'm not seeking out scary movies. And that moment with the where the woman who is looking into the minds of or going into the spirit realm to like figure out the further, and she the medium lady who like sees the creature kind of standing in the corner of the kid's room and he like lifts up his claw and points at the boy. That is so, there's a couple jump scares in there, but it's like not like scream in your face jump scares. It's very like subtle and like things in the background that kind of appear. Yeah. It's so good. I that movie is terrifying.
That is. So thank you, Jessica, for sharing that story. And if anybody listening wants to send in questions, comments, or share stories with us, send them in to fotrpodcast@gmail.com, and we're totally fine if you just want to slide into our DMs on either Twitter or Instagram. That's totally fine as well. That's what these people did, so I'm totally fine with that.
I just spit on my mic. Slide into our DMs. Good gravy.
Hey, that's what every single one of these people did, and granted, I welcomed it, but so it's totally fine. I just want to kind of give some quick shout outs to people that have been super nice to us, left us like nice reviews or said something. I want to thank Britt from Gmail, the one person that actually emailed us. I want to thank Britt. She sent us a nice email just saying that she just discovered a show. We're quickly becoming one of her favorites. And she gave us a movie, requested a movie. She requested us to cover Whiplash at some point. I've never seen it.
Ooh, that's a great movie.
I've never seen it, but that sounds like a good movie. I'm adding it.
It is.
I'm adding it to our Google spreadsheet. We have a list of requested movies, keeping that there. Mm-hmm. So one of these days we'll definitely cover it, or one of these days we'll do another. Well, we will definitely do another listener's request month. So that'll definitely be.
Oh, yeah. It'll make you sweaty. That Whiplash will make you sweaty, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
So so I just want to say thank you, Britt, from Gmail for reaching out. And also wanted to thank so many people have been, reaching out, saying really nice things about us. We're pretty involved in the podcasting community. So lots of these, other podcasters, we're all kind of talking and, you're saying like, oh man, this was really good, whatnot. So I want to like thank, the Midwest Meltdown. They said some really nice things about us. Dustin Can Read. That's another really fun podcast about reading books. Miss P Speaks podcast is really awesome as well. Also want to shout out Katie again from the Haunted Outfit account on Instagram. She's been really awesome, and both her and the guys over at the Midwest Meltdown were super excited for our Once Upon a Time in Hollywood episode. And while I'm doing all this, I need to mention a negative review that we got, Levi.
Yeah, you told me about this. I'm so intrigued.
Okay, so just to show we're not biased, we swing both sides of the fences here of the 5 stars and the 1 stars. We got our first 1 star review on iTunes, and I kind of find it kind of hilarious. I'm trying to pull it up here real quick, but so just to preface this, if people don't know or haven't been following us on Twitter or Instagram, we had some technical issues with Spotify the past couple weeks. And something happened to where our feed got duplicated and only one of the feeds was being updated while the other feed was left in the dust and the episodes became corrupted. That has now been fixed. There's only one Spotify feed up there now. And if you're ever having issues, just reach out to us. We'll be happy to fix it. And this is how I actually knew we had an issue. But the subject line is love this show, but ... So they said lots of nice things that they love us and that they were just so frustrated because I guess they're listening on Spotify that the episodes weren't working or were corrupted and that it was so frustrating to them that they wanted to throw their phone off a building. So thank you, Reg Thatch, for for making me aware of the situation, but that has been fixed. Lots of other people, Mrs. P Speaks left us a really nice review saying that she's glad that she found this podcast and that we've been giving her a nice list of movies to go through while stuck in lockdown. So we're happy to provide our movie recommendations and entertainment during this really weird time. So if you want to do something nice for us, please leave us a nice review on iTunes or reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, just say really enjoyed this episode. It's a lot of fun and, you know, it'll just make our day. So I think that's all I got for like listener stuff and shout outs. If I missed something, I'm sorry. We'll get to it next episode, next Talks on the Rocks. Now I kind of want to talk about what we have been watching outside of the podcast and what kind of movies or shows or what have you we would be recommending.
Yeah. So, okay. This is my big recommendation. I've got two television shows that I've been kind of diving into, but one specifically that I'm wanting to stress that you must watch, and I love it. It's not new. It's old. It's been around I think it aired in 1999 and went until like 2006. Brooker, have you watched the television show West Wing?
Yes. Yes.
That show, I just now got into it. Rachel and I are, 18 episodes into season one, which each episode is like 45 minutes to an hour or something like that. So they're long episodes, but it is so good. It's so good. Mm-hmm. And golly, the issues that they're covering and the conversations that are being had and the dialogue that's being, you know, kind of looked at is so ahead of its time. Like 1999, and they're talking about stuff that we're still talking about today, which is both sad and encouraging in both respects.
So is it kind of like, was it ahead of its time, or are we kind of just stuck on certain things? But
both. I think both. I think the answer is both. So West Wing is my big one. Also, I recently started watching Black-ish, which is a super duper funny show. I kept seeing like hilarious clips on YouTube and on Facebook and stuff like that from the show, and I was like, man, I gotta check this thing out. And I've started watching. I was like, this is so, the writing is just hilarious. So yeah, those are my big ones. Black-ish is wonderful, but especially West Wing. Oh, West Wing. What about you, Brooker?
I love that you're recommending a movie or a TV show from the 90s. But guys, have y'all heard about The West Wing?
Yes. Have you heard about one of the biggest television shows ever made, The West Wing? I mean, it's new to me. And so
yeah,
that's
totally fine. So for this month, I decided to do a trial of Shudder, that horror streaming service. And Shudder is really awesome. They don't sponsor us, so this is just me. this is just me gushing about it. But I've been really enjoying this free trial I've been doing with them. And something that's super cool, a feature on there that I didn't know that they had, is that they have this feature called Shudder TV, and it's like three movie channels. and they're just all day, they're just streaming random movies on those, and you're just, it's like you're just popping on the TV and just like, oh, cool, they're streaming this movie, and this is the part they're at. And so that's been like really fun. But a movie that's a Shudder exclusive that I watched, which was awesome, was Summer of 84. This movie, Levi, we gotta cover. It was so...
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Nobody's big in it. I mean, so Summer of 84, I believe it won some like Sundance Awards, and it's the... Have you seen Stranger Things, Levi?
Have I seen Stranger Things?
Okay, so...
The phenom that is Stranger Things? How dare you?
So, make sure the guy that just found West Wing is watching.
I know, I was literally about to say, the guy who literally was just like, have you heard of West Wing? Is like, Stranger Things.
So,
yes.
This...
Yes, I have. Stranger Things is incredible.
So, Summer of 84, it's a perfect blend of Disturbia and Stranger Things. That's what it is. And
oh, that sounds awesome.
It's so good. I love how this movie ends too. I don't want to spoil it here. This is my spoiler free review. But that movie is so good. It's really fun and quippy, and it also gets really creepy and dark. Like it's such a fun movie, and that's on Shudder. They have free trial, so just, you know, do a free trial and watch Summer of 84. We definitely got to do an episode on that. It's really good. I mean, it's not a perfect movie because there's like some, like there's lots of scenes and then you're like, what was the purpose of this? Like, oh man, whatever. But kid actors, whatever. But, that's really good. And if people follow me on Letterboxd, you can find me at Film on the Rocks, all one word on Letterboxd. I wrote a not spoiler free review on there for Summer of 84. It that was really good. So I highly recommend if you like Stranger Things and you like Disturbia, you will love Summer of 84. I took up your recommendation from last Talks on the Rocks for Middle Ditch and Schwartz.
Yeah.
Can I watch the first two episodes of that last night? And holy crap, that was so funny. I love improv comedy, and Kat was just like, I can't believe I'm watching improv comedy from home right now.
Yeah,
I was
but
it's so much fun. You like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Like, why not? Why wouldn't you like this?
And I think last time I checked, I don't know if it's the same rating, but last time I checked, the Middle Ditch and Schwartz is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Last time I checked.
I believe it, man. That show is so funny. And Ben Schwartz is hilarious.
He is one of the funny, I and you can quote me on this, I think Ben Schwartz is one of the funniest people alive right now.
Like, he's so funny.
He is so hilarious.
So I really highly recommend people to watch that show, and Middle Ditch and Schwartz is on Netflix, and Summer of 84 is amazing. Something else that we've been doing, this is just like a month of trials. We're doing a trial of HBO Max right now. And the sole reason why we're doing this is so that way we could watch the 1970 Scooby-Doo Where Are You show. So we've just been going through that.
Oh, I love that show.
Dude, it's so much fun. I mean, you kind of pick up on some things like, oh, that's kind of problematic today. But okay, it's good that I recognize that, I guess. But
sure.
But
yeah.
It's so much fun. And there's something about that old school Hanna-Barbera animation that's just like shows today try, like all the animated stuff we have today, like it looks really good, but there's just something about watching the show that looks kind of bad. It's like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it feels like a hug, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it feels like you're getting a warm hug from your television. And I mean, I think that if you tried to do that animation style again, the Gen Z would probably not appreciate it as much. They'd be like, oh, this looks really crappy, like why is this animation so bad? But for us, it just, I think there's this nostalgic kind of warm, homey feel of Saturday morning kind of sitting there with your, you know, or whatever, no school, you don't have any homework, it's beautiful outside or whatever, and you get to watch Scooby-Doo. I don't know, I think it just kind of elicits a happy, reminiscent reaction.
Definitely. It's so much fun. We got to do an episode just like on that show or something, because I'm watching, I'm like, man, there's so many good drinking rules we could do for this.
Like a Hanna-Barbera episode or something like that. Ranking our top Hanna-Barbera television shows. We should totally do that.
Any other things that you would recommend for people to check out?
Have I said West Wing yet? You should check out West Wing.
Jesus.
So no, those are my big ones.
Oh man, and if you want to like keep up with like what I've been watching and like some of my reviews. You can find me on Letterboxd, like I said, just search for Film on the Rocks. So, Levi, you want to kind of explain to the kind folks what we got planned for July?
Yes. So, Brooker and I joke, we have fun, but on a little bit more of a serious note, as a lot of you guys are aware, there's been a lot of, specifically our viewers in America are really aware of this, but, or I say our viewers, our listeners, good gracious, are very aware of the fact that there have been a lot of recent events, some issues that have been happening in regards to police brutality and some less than desirable things happening in the world in regards to a systemic problem of racism that has been around for a really, really long time. And it's a problem that directly affects people of color, particularly Black lives. And so Brooker and I have kind of been talking about what it would look like to take a month to just lift up the voices of diverse writers and directors. And so we decided to take July for the month of July. We are going to be looking at these four movies that have either a Black writer, a Black director, or both, and to just celebrate diversity in Hollywood and diversity in film, as we look at Get Out, Ooh. Inside Man, The Losers, and Remember the Titans. We're going to be looking at those four movies in July, and we're really, really excited about it. And if you follow us on social media, you know our position on these issues that we are and for the record, as if you guys don't know, we are both two white men, and so we understand that we have no idea what it's like to go through the oppression that is happening in the world today, and we have had in many regards kind of a head start based on kind of the situations we were born in. And we are not here to preach, we are not here to tell you how things are, because we don't have a good perspective on it, but we are here to learn and we are here to celebrate. And so we wanted to take this month to celebrate these four movies and these directors and writers that have done such an amazing job in film. And Brooker said this really well earlier, that we wanted this podcast to be an escape. We wanted this podcast to be a way where people can kind of leave the troubles behind and just talk about movies. And Brooker and I have that luxury, and a lot of people don't, that they can't leave behind the stuff that they deal with every single day that Brooker and I will never have to deal with because of the way we look. So we just wanted to take this month of July to celebrate diversity and to celebrate these brilliant, diverse creatives. Writers and directors. Yes, all of these creatives and actors and what have you. So we're really excited. These movies are amazing. If you haven't seen, I haven't seen Inside Man or The Losers yet, and so I'm really excited to get to watch these. They look awesome.
Yeah.
And I am a huge fan of Get Out and Remember the Titans, so I'm pumped about those as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think that this is a very awesome batch of movies. And again, this is going to be ranking these at the end of the month. It might be really hard. So I am really excited. Be sure to get your rewatches in for these movies.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we spoil everything. Or if you like don't care about spoilers, you just want to hear what our rules are, then go watch the movie and do the rules. That's fine as well. But yeah, I think Levi put our thoughts and intentions and everything very well right there. So yeah, we definitely want to celebrate these Black creatives in Hollywood and all of like the awesome movies that they've brought for us to enjoy and have fun with. So I'm really excited to get through these, and I'm really excited for Inside Man. That's a Spike Lee joint, and it'll be our first heist movie, Levi.
I'm kind of surprised that our first heist movie, as much as you talk about the Ocean's movie, I'm surprised this is our first heist movie.
You know what it is? It's like Ocean's 11. It's like I put it on a pedestal and I'm like, one of these days I'll do it, because like I got to be in the right mindset. I don't want to mess it up. And I want to give credit where credit's due. A person from Scotty from Instagram, he was the one that kind of recommended Inside Man for me, and I was like, oh yeah, that movie rules, and I actually didn't know, because I watched this movie when I was in high school, and back then I didn't pay attention to the people behind the camera or anything like that. I was just like, oh yeah, I just objectively, oh yeah, the movie rules, and didn't put any sort of thought into it. And I was like, oh, this is a Spike Lee movie. Oh, that's awesome. Like, I didn't know that, so that got brought to my attention. So now that, of course, we do this, I pay more attention to things, you know, all the people behind the camera and whatnot. So yeah, I'm really excited to do these really fun movies in July.
It's gonna be so pumped, especially like I said, Get Out is awesome, and I think, I mean, here's a spoiler alert. Remember, Titans is the greatest sports movie ever made, in my opinion. So I am so excited about it.
Oh yeah, I am super excited. Be sure to like, subscribe us, follow us on our socials. If you have any questions, comments, stories, send them on in. This I'll love it. It's a lot of fun. Anything that's thought provoking, just stay healthy, stay happy. Try to hang in there, and we'll be pumping out fun episodes as much as we can. Depending on how things flow, this should be coming out on a Sunday, the Sunday after the 4th of July, and our first July movie, which will be coming out this Tuesday. So just a couple more days, and that episode should be out.
Pumped. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate y'all. We'll see you guys super duper soon.
Fans of Film on the Rocks obviously enjoy a great download. Here's another. Substitute Angel, the multiple award-winning novel by Timothy Best, is now available at audible.com. While driving home in a snowstorm one night, paramedic Doc Watson hits a deer that runs across the road. At least, he thought it was a deer. It actually turns out to be an angel, sent to prevent the murder of a young woman in the small northern Michigan town where Doc works. Now injured, she can't complete her mission, so she recruits a very skeptical Doc to intervene to try to save the young woman's life. But in the process, his life gets sucked into a whirlpool of danger and startling realizations. In Detail magazine wrote, "Timothy Best weaves a touching tale evoking belly laughs and sobbing tears of joy that most novels only dream of producing." Substitute Angel is available in paperback, ebook, and now an audiobook. Substitute Angel by Timothy Best. Download it on your audible.com app today. And now, on with the show.